بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The first surah to be revealed is Surah Fatiha, and the first verses to be revealed is the first five ayats of Iqra, and the last surah to be revealed, last surah, is Iza Ja'a Nasrullahi Wal Fath. And after the revelation of Iza Ja'a, Nabi lived in this world for approximately 2 years, or slightly more than 2 years. And thereafter, the verse Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, this day have I perfected your deen for you, on the plains of Arafat, the 9th of Zilhijjah, on a Jummah, between Asr and Maghrib, this verse was revealed. After which Nabi Sallam lived 80 days. Then 50 days before he could leave the world, the verse of Kalala was revealed. Then approximately 35 days before he could leave, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ was revealed. And thereafter, the last verse to be revealed was وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, after which he lived just 21 days. So this إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ was the last surah to be revealed. Right. On the occasion of the revelation, many Sahaba-i-Kiram were very excited because of the glad tidings. Now Makkah Mukarramah will be conquered and people will come into Islam in crowds and droves. So this was what they were ambitious about. That was the dream, that Makkah Mukarramah must come back into our control. And this verse is already telling them that this is going to happen. Shortly after that was the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. So they were the Sahaba-i-Kiram that were rejoicing. But Hazrat Abbas, the respected uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wept at the revelation of this verse. And the reason was, he would say, this surah is saying, is giving the message that Makkah Mukarramah is going to be conquered and people are going to come in crowds into Islam. So that marks the end of the mission of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when his mission has been accomplished, then Allah is saying, now work is over now, come back to me. In this verse, one of the more important things that Allah speaks about is فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, glorify the praises of your Rabb and ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. So Nabi Sallam would recite سُبْحَانَ wa bihamdihi, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ, in his namaz سُبْحَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَبِحَمْدِكَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي. So the age span of this ummah is between بين الستين والسبعين, between 60 and 70 lunar years. Right? That's the age span of this ummah. So when you around 55, 58, then don't pretend to be young. Then prepare for the descent. The Muslim is telling you in advance that this is going to be more or less the age span. So he's mentioning this, that you bring yourself to the level of readiness. In fact, when he's told you that 60, you are hitting the mark now, you're about ending. So that would require that long before that, you make the necessary preparation. So in my understanding, the preparation should be at around 40. The real preparation. because it was the style of the people of Medina Munawwara. Once they reached 40, they would say, now we made enough for dunya, now what about our future? What have we taken there? We are planning to leave Durban and live in Johannesburg, for example, right? So the logical thing is, and what have we sent there to make our lives comfortable? Have we got a home there? Have we got some occupation there? Have we got all our equipment, all our furniture there? Right? Did we look at the surroundings and the place? Will that be comfortable? And all our necessary requirements all are met up? Is the pick and pay near there? The shopping areas near there? Is the masjid near there? So all these things play in our mind. All the amenities, all the needs will be easily taken care of. And is there a crowd of people there that we are comfortable? You know, we'll have the men will have something for themselves, women will have something for themselves. Is it conducive? Is it a friendly environment? Is it a dini environment? So we look at all these things here before we have to uplift and relocate. So the same concept of uplifting and relocating is the hereafter. Uplifting and you relocating. So have you sent anything? A home? Have you got a home there? Have you got the furniture all laid out? Have you got some proper consistent service coming into you from Kentucky's and from My Diners and Spurs and all that coming so that they could service you all the time? So did you make arrangements for this? And you uplift from here and you relocate there, then have you made any arrangements for that? So that is supposed to be starting max at the age of 40. So at least 20 years of your life. You gave 40 years your dunya, right? Study, made money and all, whatever, made maja, right? But now after 40, then reassess your life, right? And you assess your life, you understand now from this point onwards, you're not going to find that level of strength, the level of agility, the strength of power, might, etc. You're not going to find it. If you're going to try to be young, that trying to be young won't make you young. Right? Whether you went for some gymming, or you went for some jogging, or you went for a proper dieting, whatever you went for, is not going to make you young. You'll still live the same. Maybe you'll enjoy a little better health, but that's not going to decrease or increase your life. Your life is going to still remain the same. Absolutely, exactly the same. But now, when you relocate, then it's too late. That abode is too late to say, well, you know, had I done this, would have been better. I can just make an arrangement, make an adjustment. You can't do it. The other relocations, you can get some external assistance and help. Here, nothing coming forth. What preparations have you made? See, I was explaining some pertinent things to the boys, the final year boys. And then, just this afternoon, I think it was between quarter past 12, after quarter past 12. So, some people came in from London. They had some work here, whatever. So they came, and they asked for some advice. So, one child of his was graduating and he wanted some advice. Man must have been about 55, 60. His brother must have been about, I would say, 40, or about 50 something. So they're asking for some advice, seeing that the child is graduating. So whatever came in my mind at that time, I shared with him. He said, see, when the child has graduated, then there's two very important things that has to be implanted in the child. In fact, before the graduation, two very, very important things that must be implanted in the child. One is, kullukum mas'ulun, you responsible. Now, as you're graduating, now understand the sense of responsibility. Now, how is it going to fare out? You're going to be responsible for your expenses. You're going to be responsible, you're going to bring someone else's daughter into your life, because now you're earning for yourself, you're looking after yourself, so it's someone's daughter that you have brought into your life, understand the sense of responsibility that goes with it. Right? You understand that you have got a responsibility towards your parents as well. You cannot isolate them, and you cannot forget them. For the last 22, 24 years of your life, until you graduated, they were there for you. Right? Now you're getting some sort of independence and wealth, so you can't forget the 24 years that they did for you. Right? Your formative years, they didn't just throw you in the street. They did for you until you were steady in your life. Right? So you can't forget all what they have done. By the same token, you need to show a degree of respect to your in-laws. Right? Because they're going to be your children's nanas. Now, so isolate them and to forget them is to tell them, just forget your nana and I'm here for you. So you can't do that as well. So they must learn to respect them as well. Appreciate. When you wanted his daughter, then you did everything, right? To secure that, you did everything. Now, a gesture of appreciation is to show gratitude, respect, love, a little bit of khidmat, whatever you can manage. So you showed that as well. Right? Then you are responsible also for the comfort and the mental ease of your family. So at any given time, is she mentally at ease? Is she comfortable? Now, for example, you've got a routine to come back after Isha. Say Isha is 8:15, so you come back home, say, at about 9:15, right? To be fair, a little bit of a program or something, kitab reading, we did everything, and you came back at 9:15. But now one day, you were stretched because of something. There was an additional program, or the youngsters were talking around, or you had to attend to something. And you know you're going to be delayed. In place of 9:15, you're going to come 9:15. Then you should notify straight away that I'm getting into some work, and I will come back at 9:15. Provided she doesn't feel hysterical and afraid. Because if it's a newly married girl, and our people's style is getting married about 18, 19, and she's looking into a home, big home, or a big flat, all by herself, and just now she read some WhatsApp message that someone was hijacked or something. Now what thoughts goes into her mind? So you must recognize this thing. Be man enough to understand that this is how she's going to feel. You wanted her, so you took her with a lot of respect, with a lot of interest you took her. Now, see that she's mentally at ease as well. Don't only look at your mental appeasement, excitement and entertainment. You've got someone's child in your home, so look at it that she's relaxed, she's comfortable. So this is the meaning of kullukum mas'ulun. You are responsible. You've got a job, you're responsible. You've got a wife, you're responsible. For three things, home, food, clothing, you're responsible. Right? Now, you will have situations where people will complicate things. Right? You get this type of complaint coming in. The girl will say that, I do the whole house, I'm running it, with my wealth I'm running it. Right? In other words, she must be a kind of wealthy person, a professional person. So she's bringing a lot of money. So he sees that, why do I need to work then? Why must duplicate? She's bringing 60,000, so I must duplicate. You don't need to duplicate now. The person is working, is alright. Right. Now, that's the first stupidity. That why did she become a professional person like that? That they had to reverse the roles. The man was supposed to be the winner. He's supposed to be bringing. Right? And when he got a woman of this nature, so now the whole role is reversed. When the whole role is reversed, now it's going to be one of two problems. One problem will be that she'll rule the house. The man says, I put on the pants. You listen to me. Now you see, there's going to be a tug of war. She wants to rule and he wants to rule. Right? In many cases you have that he is ruling the house. And he is abusing his position. You do this, do this. Look after this one, look after that one. Take care of. He's abusing. But now, they went into this type of a wrong relationship. Why did she go and become the type of a person? She's caused this type of a confusion. Right? So many a times, man is at wrong, is making a mistake, but she's the cause. And many a times, she's the problem. Right? Now that she's earning, so she wants him to be like the garden boy. Do the rounds, school runs, everything he must do, as I say. I will say and she must just do. There was a man that came here about four years ago. So he's complaining that his sister and brother-in-law are having it out. So what happened? So now they were at a dawah. So now when they are in a dawah, then it's like an open environment, men, women, everybody, all are sitting together, right? So when they're sitting together, so now everybody is giving his two cents about some case. Now today, they'll talk about corona, right? So topics will keep changing, whatever is coming up, surfacing, people will discuss these things. So he is giving his version about corona. So she butts in and says, you got no right to talk because you are earning only 50,000. I'm earning 150,000, I will talk. You just keep quiet. And the whole crowd, see that, she had to butt in and she had to say this. But now, you see that wealth is talking. And she wants wealth to talk. But now you brought this upon yourself, now must face the music. So when you reverse the roles, you must be prepared for the consequences. All these consequences are going to come about, they must be prepared for it. Right. So what we are getting at is the advice, people, that man that came, he's asking for advice. So I said, see, learn to be responsible. Every small thing, big thing, small thing, learn to be responsible. You will see that you will be loved and respected if you are responsible. So you are a father in the house, you are a husband to your wife, you are a father to your children, you are responsible to your business, to your work and employment. So in all these things you understand that I am responsible. Then you are a servant of Allah Ta'ala, you are responsible for your service. Servant, what do you mean by servant? One that is offering service. So you are responsible in that regard as well. You are a servant of Allah Ta'ala, so you're responsible to serve Him as well. So if just this one word comes into your mind, into your life, I am responsible. I am responsible for myself. I need to see that things are done right, correctly. For the environment, I am responsible. In your environment, wherever you are, you're seeing whatever is required in that environment, I must do. Right? For example, now your parents have become aged. Now you're responsible. Now don't shirk off your responsibility. I don't have that attitude, but my parents have got other children also, so they must also do their fair share. No, no. You just do it whether they're doing it or not. You do your fair share. They come on. They don't come, don't you insist and don't make it an issue. Am I doing it? What I'm supposed to be doing, am I doing? I'm supposed to do this much, I'm supposed to do this much, I'm supposed to do this much. Now, this world, the pleasure of the world is when every person feels I'm responsible. I'm responsible. I'm responsible. That Sahabi is in Yarmouk in the battle, right? And he sees his cousin in the throes of death. I'm responsible to see that I bring some relief to him. I'm responsible to see that I bring some relief to him. He goes with the water to go and serve him, and he's yearning someone else's groan. So he says, no, I am responsible to see that my brother is comfortable. First start off with him, then you come back to me. He must be comfortable, then I can I be comfortable. You see now the sense of responsibility and how it works. Then isn't it an enjoyable place to be living in? He comes to this person, he is listening to the groans of the third person. Now, as he goes to go and pass the water to him, that person passes on. When he comes to the second person, that person passed on. That comes to the first person, that person comes on, passes on. From the Yarmouk till now, it's approximately 1400 years, right? In the time of Umar radiallahu, this thing took place. But the story is recorded in history. Up till now, they left a mark in the pages of history. They left a mark. Why? Because of the sense of responsibility. Now reverse the whole thing today. Come, I must be first. I, me, my children. Others, they'll come in time. They die or not, they don't die, or they live. That's not my problem. You think anybody would have been discussing it? Today we discuss it after 1400 years and see the sense of responsibility, the consciousness of showing preference, that I must show preference. My work, my duty, my Nabi Sallallahu has taught me that I show preference. That's, Nabi Sallallahu is entering the Mubarak home, meet many years ago, it was a luxury, right? It was a luxury many years ago. So, one of the Azwaja Mutahharat, she left the meat, right? The Nabi Sallam will come and he will enjoy this. In the meanwhile, a beggar came and she turned the beggar down because this was left for Nabi Sallam. As Nabi Sallam comes into the house, she wants to go and bring the meat and that thing has turned into a stone. What happened? This is what happened. Well, Allah Pak saved us. See how Nabi Sallam responds, Allah Pak has saved us. Why? A beggar came, it was supposed to be given to him, right? And not giving him is being stone-hearted, right? So your heart, if you had eaten that, your heart would have become stone. That softness, that tenderness, that compassion would have left you. See? So Allah Ta'ala showed it to you that you didn't honor that beggar and this is what has happened. And you see how the sense of responsibility, every simple thing, big thing, small thing, but I am responsible. I need to see that it's accomplished. That person does it or he doesn't do it. That is his responsibility, but am I accomplishing or not? At any time, any given time. Azizji Rahmatullah, you would see him sometimes. Baijan had some horse, right? Now, youngsters, as they're growing up, they have shock. No? Do this, buy a bicycle, do this, whatever. They may not be the better things. Sometimes, in grooming the child, you just relax some of your laws. You've got a control over them, but you relax a little bit, not too much, right? Because if you relax too much, then it can become a problem for them. Now they made cycling like an event. Examination time, now they're going cycling. Where they need to look after their wives, they're going to Cape Town to cycle. Where they need to give the time to that wife, now she is going to cycle, he's going to cycle, gee, then what's going to happen? It's going to be a recycle. She'll recycle somewhere else, he'll recycle somewhere else, and now they're wondering, why is this recycling taking place? But this is a life yet you went for. You neglected her, and she neglected you. She went for her own cycle, you went for your own cycle, became a recycle, but who started this off? You started it off. You'll be with her, she'll be with you, you won't have these problems. But then when you went on a different line, he went in a different line, I said, I got money now, I need to go and express these things. And then she became interested in that person, and he became interested in your wife. Now, you say, where this thing started off from? So this is how this starts off. No sense of responsibility. That person, he may be learned, educated, professional, but does he have the sense of responsibility? Every simple thing, but does he have that sense of responsibility? One doctor came here some years ago. So, he's in a private hospital, right? So, a specialist, what he'll do? His work is to go and see the patient for at least 2 times a day or 3 times a day according to the case. He sees the patient, gives all the writing and all that, and then the sister or the nurse that is attending, then he'll tell her, alright, this is how you must check for this, check for this, check for this. Give her, every hour, give her writing, give her reading. So, he'll just come at designated times and do it, right? Now this is, you're talking of a private hospital, right? Now when you don't have a sense of responsibility, what happens? So this doctor now, normally he would come at about 10 o'clock. So he pulled in at about 7 o'clock. We have just said it's Fajr Namaz, winter. I said, let me go straight to the hospital. Went to the hospital, he read the chart first, everything is right till 10 o'clock. Everything is right at 7 o'clock. He found out that the patient had passed on at about 3 o'clock in the morning. See, sense of responsibility. When you become desensitized, no sense of responsibility, this is what happens. Dunya gets damaged and the deen gets damaged as well. Now you think, you know, I got so much, but kya fayda? What's the good of that? What's the good of that when you don't have a sense of responsibility? You have a sense of responsibility, then 9, 10, 12,000 rand for the month is too much. Why? I got a sense of responsibility. And I know of cases, personally I know of cases, when 1 million rand is too less for the month. I know the people who I'm talking about, I know who I'm talking about, but I can't just give you the names. But 1 million rand is too much, it's too less. By the 20th of the month, the pockets are running dry. Take an account here, it's too much. But when there's no sense of responsibility, this is what happens. No sense of responsibility. I was showing one of my friends, we were in some place, I won't mention what place, which place we were in. But see, this is one major company here, second company, third company, fourth company, and all have got top security. I'm just showing him, see, all these securities are on the phone. All of them are on the phone. They're watching very deeply. You walk past, they don't even know that you have walked past. So what are they doing? Have they got the sense of responsibility? So I explained, see, to this person that came in, said, see, the first thing that is required is sense of responsibility. Whatever small, big thing you're doing, you've got a sense of responsibility. I am responsible. I am answerable. I was talking to one doctor. So he says, you know, I've got a lot of regards for my instructor, doctor that's above me. I've got a lot of regards for him. So this doctor that I'm talking about, he must be about 68, 69, right? And his instructor must have been even elder than him. So he says that it was my habit, my routine, that after I've done my work, whatever, in the hospital, that I will go past that instructor of mine, because he taught me. So I'll just make salam, Muslim, so I'll make salam and I would pass on. So as I came past him, so I see he's the instructor is there, and there's four or five people, all surgeons, but they're all in a ghabrat state now. They're worrying what's happened. So in that ghabrat state, in the state of ghabrat and fikr, so he says, you know what, we operate on this person to remove the kidney stone. The X-ray report is showing that he's got a stone, a good sized stone. When we did the operation, we don't see anything in it. Now we are in a ghabrat state now. The report is showing that he's got a stone, and when we did the operation, then there's nothing. So we in a ghabrat state. It just came out from him that perhaps the stone is on the other side. Check on. Now he went and cut this side. Hey, really that stone was on the other side, they removed the stone, alright. They patched him up this side, they fixed him this side, whatever they did, right. I look at the sense of responsibility of this instructor. He says, after the operation was done, person recuperated, is relieved of the pain, everything is finished now. Now he goes up to the patient and he says, see, we have made a mistake on you. The thing was on the left and we operated on the right, right. So, by law, you have got all the right to sue us. We have made a mistake, first must apologize. Number two is you have got all the right to sue us. If you want to, this is how you go about doing it. So, no, I am finished now. I am alright now. I am relieved for the pain. I don't need to sue you people. I am too comfortable. I don't need to do all this. I don't need to go this way. But he says now, you know, the level of respect that I had for my instructor at that point was unbelievable. Said, come what may, I'll do anything for that man. See that sense of responsibility, truth, responsibility, honesty, right? So this is the thing that Allah wants to see. What is the sense of responsibility? Not your the abundance. Inna Allaha la yanzuru ila amwalikum, wala ila suwarikum. Your wealth means nothing. And how good you look also doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. Your looks is nothing. Your wealth is nothing. Absolute nothing. But what counts is your heart. And your behavior. وَلَكِ يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ نِيَاتِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِكُمْ وَآمَالِكُمْ. Your behavior. What is your ways? What is your behavior? What is your values within your heart? That's the focus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this sense of responsibility. I was speaking about Hazrat Ji rahmatullahi. I was talking about Baijan and he's got a horse, right? It's a rainy day. And Hazrat Ji rahmatullahi straight away thinks, now what's happening to this horse now? It's raining and it's thundering. And animals normally, when it's thundering and lightning, they get a little bit excited. So now, is this thing comfortable? Is it relaxed or not? In the pouring, when it's severe rain, he went out. Just to see that the horse is comfortable. It doesn't belong to him. Nothing dies or anything. It's not his responsibility. But he says it's an animal. It's in our yard. And he's going to be panicking in this state here. When he's going to be panicking in this state here, and I don't go and show it a little bit of attention, it's going to become even more panicking. So now, let me go and show it a little bit of comfort, let it be relaxed. But you see this sense of responsibility. Now, Allah Ta'ala bestows, when you show that sense of responsibility, you are a manager in your shop, right? And he shows a very high sense of responsibility, small things, big things. He's doing it right. Don't you like to promote him, give him a better perk, some greater benefits? Don't you want to do that? Why? He's showing responsibility. He's got a passion for the work. He's showing a level of responsibility. He's not neglectful of his duties. He's responsible, right? Small mistake, big mistake, but he's pointing it out. He's showing it straight away. See, these are all small elementary things you may think, but these are the things that take you up. You're truthful, you're honest, responsible. He's doing it as it's supposed to be done. His eyes just opened up at about 1 o'clock in the morning from a deep sleep, and he's tossing from one end to the other, So it happens to spouses. If one is feeling uneasy, the other one's sleep also breaks. So the wife feels now, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is uneasy. What has happened? So Mawa says, but in the day I'd taken how much? 50 cents. You'd like to pay this person here. I was short of 50 cents and I had taken from you and paid the person out. But I didn't settle this and I didn't make an account of it. I didn't make a record of it. So Mawa's wife got very deeply upset. She said, yeah, I'll hold your neck on the day of Qiyamah. Mawa's wife knew what he's going to say. So, you know, why are you so petty? It's mine, and what is mine belongs to you. So why are you being so petty? Said, no. We need to have our hisab right. You may be as gracious, as compassionate, as loving as ever, right? But our hisab must be absolutely above board. It's 1 cent this side, 1 cent that side. I can't allow it. I must be absolutely thorough about it. I can't do this thing. How can I do it? How do you expect me to do it? On the lighter side, Mawa's father-in-law, right? Very brilliant, very, very brilliant person. So, father-in-law, he notices that the wife is uneasy. He's sleeping now. The wife is uneasy. So as the wife is uneasy, so he gets up, says, what happened? So now, feeling so thirsty now, you know. So there's a water there. Just jump up, take the water and drink. So she's saying, ye uthak baithak kaun kare? Who's going to get up, go there, drink and come back? So anyway, what he did, after a few moments, he became like restless. And he became like, she got a shock now. Kya hua? Hey, tumne kis cheez ka naam liya? You spoke about water, you know. I'm feeling so thirsty. She got up straight up, offered the water to him. Said, no, I'm not thirsty. God did this for you. She took that water, she threw it away. But you see this woman now, right? How they behave. They will see to your comfort, although they go through some difficulty. Now she got ghabrat. Why? You wanted me to drink, and you put me through this pain here. Why do you do this thing here? But you see how this woman behaved. But what I'm getting at, this sense of responsibility, it may seem like a small thing, really. But I think in this age, there isn't a greater thing than the sense of responsibility, right? Small things or big things. Am I responsible? I'm in charge of the musalla, for example. Am I there on time? At least 5 minutes, 8 minutes before the namaz, I'm there. I'm not there on the time. Now the musallis are looking around. Imam sahab, where's he? Fajr namaz. And some other younger hafizes, they're playing in the wuzu khana or something. The wuzu is stretching now. Because they know that they're not going to find an imam, they'll push me in front. So let me stretch my wuzu there, so I don't have to. You see the uneasiness that you bring about. But if the imam sahab is saying, no, it's my responsibility. You know, more Ansari sahab, rahmatullahi. You have so many times you heard this case, the stories about him. He's gone for a dawat. So before accepting the dawat, he will tell the person, by you bring me back to West Street, at least before the azan. Bring me back 10 minutes, 15 minutes before the azan. So if he needs to make wuzu, everything, he's there before the azan. And he's ensuring that the azan is taking place on time. But you see, this is a sense of responsibility. The azan has to go and the namaz has to take place. But now, it's not his responsibility to call the azan. But he's thinking to himself, as a musalli of this masjid here, and as an imam of the masjid, I need to ensure that the azan is taking place in right time. So the people around, they know about the time coming in. Their namaz is the right. The masjid, the azan has gone on time. there is a system and the system is working very well for everybody. But if I am not right about, I'm not thorough about this, then what's going to happen? Azan is just going to fluctuate from this end to that end. Azan is not right, namaz is not right. The confidence of the musallis and the people, all is lost, is broken down. See this sense of responsibility. Now this sense of responsibility grows, it progresses. Now you think now all these organs of mine are on loan, not mine, it doesn't belong to me. Whether it's the eyes, the ears, my time, my tongue, it's not mine. It's Allah Ta'ala's. I'm responsible. Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. All these faculties, tongue, eyes, ears, etc. You're going to be answerable for this. Even the thoughts that pass your mind, deliberately when you have suspicions about people, right? You have got suspicion, reservation. So Allah Pak says, you have got suspicions about this person here. Where's the base? What's the basis for the suspicion? Have you got proof? Can you support the suspicion that you have about this person here? What are you going to say? So, no, I heard from this person, but that doesn't work. Have you got proper substance by you to prove that the person is like that? You got no information, and you already made up your mind that this person is like this. Have you got the heart to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that state? You don't have the information, leave it out. It doesn't concern you. Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. You're responsible for these things. They are gifts of Allah ta'ala. It doesn't belong to you. Use it, you misuse it. How do you use it? It's your car, for example, right? It's your car that you're giving out in rental. So you tell the person that is hiring the car, this is how it's supposed to be used. If he misuses it, then it's a machine on hire. If he misuses it, then don't you become worked up? Why? It's my machine. What he thinks about it? What? And if it is that you lend the person, if he misused it, then you become even more upset. You loaned him the car. He said, no, it's a wedding. I just need to pick my passengers, right? So you lent him the car. Now he filled cement, he put bricks inside the car, bringing heavy machines, and now he's damaged the car. Do you appreciate that? No. So this exactly the same. You feel hurt. How Allah Ta'ala takes it? When you use misuse of the eye, misuse of the ear, tongue, heart, mind, etc. If you feel so hurt, then how do you expect Allah Ta'ala to take these things? So this sense of responsibility, as it grows, then you say, no, I am responsible, I am answerable. Umar radiallahu anhu, prior to him having the controls of the cash, a different person. Now he's got the controls of the public treasury, he's a different person. I got the control of the public treasury now. Now he's a different person. See, I've got control of wealth. I didn't have the wealth, I'm a different person. Now I got control over that wealth, I'm a different person. He's not sleeping all night, patrolling Madina Munawara. People came in, musafirs, poor, destitute, women, widows, what's happening to them? He is uneasy for that entire night. What am I doing for them? I got the control of the Baytul Mal, of the public treasury. What have I done? See. Now, when that sense of responsibility comes in, then I say, it's joy to be living. But people are desensitized. No sense of responsibility, really. The joy of life, all is destroyed. The man, it breaks up, until he's only concerned about himself. Money must go for his pleasure, for his holiday, for his sportswear, for that entertainment, for that beach, for that picnic, for that food, for that outing. So the whole thing just revolves around his personal self. And a true Muslim is kullukum mas'ul. I am responsible. There's a janaza now. You're living in a Muslim minority, right? Now, what arrangements should be done? Man passed away in a street. So what do we do? I don't want to see it. I get afraid. I can't sleep after that. What must you do? It's a reality. You have come of age, right? Now, what must you do? You're living in a place. Man is hospitalized. What have you done? Man is not feeling well. He's old. What do you do? What have you done? Do we have the sense of responsibility? See, when everything is self-centered, everything is self-centered, then that own father of yours becomes a burden. Man is a multi-millionaire. I'm talking about the last week's story. Multi-millionaire. But he's got the heart to dump the father in old age. It's too much now. We can't manage it, bhai. Can't manage it. And I don't want to release my name. But this is what he's owning. But he can't, doesn't have the heart to keep his father. Why not? The wife is making a story. I can't do it myself. I say, you got the money. I say, curse be that wealth. Means Allah Pak's curse be that on the wealth. When you got the wealth, but your own blood you can't take care. So what's the good of that wealth? What is the need of that wealth? You couldn't take care of your own things. What is the need? What is the good? See the sense of responsibility when it shrinks up. So where it brings the person? He's no more a human being, something else now. Belong to some alien planet, not to this planet Earth. You some other planet. So I explained this to people. The first is learn sense of responsibility. The second explains, see, Hazraji Rahmatullah used to give this advice. I don't know how many times we have heard this. I'm giving some simple advices, straightforward, simple, direct things, right? You don't need to be a rocket scientist. Simple thing, but it affects everybody's life. Sense of responsibility. That woman doesn't want to do anything, I got a husband, I need to ask. One person comes with these luggages. Well, Muhtami Rahmatullahi, mujhe janne ki ijazat di jaye. I need permission to leave. So Mullah says, ye ittila hai ya ijazat talab karna hai? Is this an information or asking permission? So no, I came to ask for permission. But he said, is this how you ask for permission? You have loaded everything you have loaded, and as you're moving and you're asking for permission, this is not asking for permission, this is coming to inform. There's a way. Say for example, I ask you, I don't give you the permission. Are you going to go back? My mind will be very difficult. So that's just a formality. When you got the sense of responsibility before you could pack, before you could do anything, are you asking? So the wife has got the same thing. She feels, no, I got a man above me, I need to ask. The child knows that the father needs him. He's grown up. But the child knows that the father needs him. So when the parents need him, am I asking my parents, I need to do this, I need to get here, am I asking them? Sense of responsibility. One person is telling me, no, he's buying a rabbit for his children and all that, right? But now the children are taking the rabbit and they're throwing it up like this and throwing it down. Taking it up and throwing it down. I said, see, what Islam teaches us is that you must have a sense of responsibility. You're keeping these animals, then treat them with respect. Make them feel comfortable. And this is not permissible. You didn't teach the children how to look after the animals and you're giving it to them. So isn't it a sin? Locking them up, cleaning them up, you're not feeding them nicely. The children don't know how to take care. So is this not a sin on your head? If you can't, say I can't, bye, just let them go. Slaughter them, eat them or do something else. But don't take the responsibility. Those animals are making la'nat for you. You're ill-treating them, you're hurting them, and what's going through their minds? Nabi Sam was walking past and he saw a camel tearing. He went up and he caressed the thing. And he asked, who is the owner? So and so. Man is called, youngster is called. So this, Nabi Sam explains that this animal is complaining about you, that you're overburdening me with work, and you're underfeeding me. You're overburdening, and you're underfeeding. See this, animals also, they know what's going on. But they can't speak, they can't express themselves. Because they can't express themselves, you are taking advantage. For every comfort of yours, every arrangement is made. Your home, your room, no noise, you want it quiet, comfortable. But these little animals that don't have a tongue to speak, they can't express their feelings, and we take advantage over them. See the sense of responsibility. Every small, minutest, I'm responsible. You got the sense of responsibility, you're a different person. But no sense of responsibility asks you, what's the difference between a person and an animal? Animal also doesn't assume responsibility. You also aren't assuming responsibility. What's the difference? See, every small thing, big thing, but you are assuming a sense of responsibility. Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi had to work on the case of the Qadianis, right? It's a Qadiani case. So the judge And the jury were very excited at Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullah's presentation. And they wanted it in writing. So we couldn't cope. You know, you have the scribes to transcribe. And Hazrat was going with such a flow, they were like mesmerized. And they became so consumed with his explanation that they couldn't transcribe straight away. So anyway, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah was also called on that occasion for this whole trial, right? He went up and he took short notes. So the Shah Sahib asked him, "See, this is what they're requesting. Can you do this?" So he said, "No, I'll do it." He stood up after Isha, and at Fajr, when the Azan was just going, Shah Sahib pulled into the room. When he pulled into the room, Mauli Shafi Sahib kaha tak, "Abhi abhi maine isko pura kar liya." The amount of muhabbat, enjoyment and happiness he brought to his ustad, and there he became Mufti Muhammad Shafi. He didn't just become like that. See that the love, the affection, the muhabbat that he showed, and then the ustad, what dua he gave him. Then you see his works all accepted, you see. But sense of responsibility. The ustad wants it, and it must be done by the morning. So he sacrificed that entire night. By the morning, Azan is just about going. And the Mufti Muhammad, the last line, the last letter, "I just finished now, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala." See. Every aspect, but the sense of responsibility. Am I responsible? Am I assuming the responsibility? Am I discharging? I went into a toilet, right? The toilet is shared by 5 people, 7 people, right? I am responsible. To see that it is in the same state or a better state than the time I visited it. So now it was missed, so I left it missed. But it's a facility that is used commonly. Leave it in a better state or at least the same. But don't leave it in a messy state. You need it, the next person needs it, the third person. But if this understanding goes in everybody, Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah is in his last stages, about 3 months before he could pass away. So he's getting a spell of dizziness. Now, he needs to go to toilet late at night. Now, in India, the system is a little bit different, right? So, up till that time we were there, they were in these communal taps. You know, you take water from the well, or they'll have a place, and you put the water into the jug, and you go into the toilet. So, he filled the water into the jug and went into the toilet. As he's returning from the toilet, he had a spell of dizziness. When he had a spell of dizziness, he just fell unconscious. He got up, he's not disturbing the wife, slowly crawled to the bed. Now, as he landed on the bed, he understands that I took the jug and it's misplaced. She may get up and she'll be hunting for the jug and she won't find it in its place. I will inconvenience her. With all that limitation, weakness, etc., I am responsible. I am responsible to see and ensure that she is comfortable as well. I can't bring this type of discomfort for her because of my illness. He got up in that illness, went back, picked that jug, put it in his place, and then came back. Now he's explaining this. Why he's explaining? Not to extol his virtue, no. But to impress upon us, why we are so shallow in our reasoning. Our mind just goes in one thing and carries on and on in that way. But this small little aspects about showing sense of responsibility. So that was the first thing that I explained. You see, every simple thing, small thing, simple thing, big thing. One boy, now he's the second year or the third year. So he knows and I know that he's smoking. So he's about 20, 21, and he's talking about marriage. So it's normal, but 21, they'll talk about marriage. So I asked him, "Do you know what marriage is?" "See, yeah, I know what marriage is. That's why I'm talking about it." I said, "All right. If you know what marriage is all about, if that wife of yours is also smoking and she blows all that nicotine in your face, would you appreciate it?" "Well, that'll be very bad. But if you blow it, it's not a good thing, you know." So when he's blowing the nicotine in her face, it's not a good thing. But if she does it, it's very bad. I say, have you got the sense of responsibility? If you are responsible, then you'll be equally concerned. If she can't do it, I can't do it. If she can't do it, then I can't do it also. One student that I spoke to, that he says, "Well, you just told me that, I just dropped that thing completely." I'm thinking, you know, it's so unfair on my side. that I can have the privilege, but she doesn't have the privilege to do so. So that thing really, really disturbed me. I just left, I just threw that bit. So this was one advice I gave. The second advice I gave, I said, see, Hazrat Muhammad used to give this advice to all. Nearly every second, third day, he's giving the same thing, same advice. He says, Alim banna, Mufti banna, Shaykhul Hadith banna, Hafiz banna, Qari sahab banna, ye farz nahi hai. To become a Mulana, Mufti sahab, Shaykhul Hadith, to become a Hafiz, Qari sahab, is not a farz, farz ayn. Lekin muttaqi banna farz ayn hai. But to become a muttaqi is a farz ayn. Is a farz for everybody, every single individual. And the reason is obvious. When the person is muttaqi, he knows that this is his father. He won't dump him in the old age. He knows his mother. I need to do something. I need to ask them permission. Is this the right thing for me? Or I should postpone it for a later date. Now that will come in place when he's got a sense of responsibility. If he doesn't have a sense of responsibility, who are they now? They don't rule my life. So I can do my thing. They can do their thing. But he's got a deep sense of responsibility. He's going to be behaving differently. In any small thing, big thing, is he going to raise his voice, one of his parents? He can't, he won't be able to do it. Well, how will Allah Pak see this? I am raising my voice, one of my parents. My father is alone. Can I go and spend some quality time with him? He'll feel lonely. Let me go and talk to him. Let me cheer him up. Now, you got taqwa in you. You got feeling. Otherwise, you got no taqwa. He's, well, we gave him the food and all that. He can eat, he can enjoy, he can sleep after that. So you just treated him as a furniture, just as a number, he's a number, he's waiting for his days to pass, and then we'll grab his wealth after that. So that's how they're looking at life. Because they were not taught, or they didn't learn taqwa. What is taqwa all about? So he says that to make that alim, all that, is not a farz ayn. But yes, it's a farz ayn, means it's a farz that is applicable to all and sundry. No exception. Big, small, men, women, young, old, irrespective of the race and color. But every person is supposed to be having taqwa. He's got taqwa. He knows his parents. He knows his wife. He knows people. He knows his neighbor. Everything he knows why he's got taqwa. But he doesn't have taqwa. He's got all the learning and education. So I asked the man, see, we got the director of FNB, right? FNB. And he comes in now. He's a director. He comes to the masjid. And he speaks against interest. I ask you, the talk of his, is it going to have any effect on the crowd? Why? No taqwa he's got. But he's got no taqwa, what he's talking. He's just blowing a lot of hot air. A lot of hot air. He's giving this explanation and that explanation and this theory, whatever he's giving. And he's quoting the Quran and Hadith, whatever he's doing. But it's not going to have an effect. The effect is going to come proportionate to his taqwa, how much he's applying it. That's going to be the level of effect that it's going to have on the crowd. You have got it, the crowd is going to get affected. You don't have it, it's just going to be a lot of hot air you're blowing out. You're showing how good an orator you are. But it's not going to have that effect, that desired effect on the people. So you see the truth of Hazrat's words. It's farz ayn for everybody to become a muttaqi. Final year boys, I was giving them some advice. My kitabs are all getting ended now. So let him see in life, in three things, you must see that you're doing it right and you're doing to the extent that you can manage comfortably. Do it right, but see that you're doing it to the extent that you are comfortable yourself. So I said in three things in life. One is your eating habits, right? Eat the right type of foods, halal, etc., healthy foods, wholesome foods, and eat how much you can manage. Right? A small child now, 10, 12 years, he's eating, and I think it's going very well for him, right? He's so strong. His system can handle it. He eats and drinks and all that, whatever, coke and all that, his system is managing it, it's alright. But now when you come at about 35, 40, you're going to eat like how that boy is eating at the age of 12, and you're messing yourself, you're playing around with your health. Now you're going to start burping, gaseous, bloated, constipated, all that feelings you're going to have. Right? Because you need to eat right, number one. But see how much you can manage as well. Can't manage it, see, I can't manage. I know my system will go off. I won't be able to concentrate. I'll feel sleepy, I'll feel drowsy. Stomach will be going all upside down, gaseous, and the heavy feelings I'll have. So let me eat how much I can comfortably manage. My stomach can manage, I won't burn, I won't have heartburns, etc. What I can eat and what I can be comfortable with, let me eat only that much. So you have to check yourself. At the age of 13, I have to check yourself. These gaseous things that I'm eating, I'm fully pushing the thing. But then, what reaction it has? I need to see all these things here. So eat what is right, but eat what your body can manage. And understand again, what the first point I told you, you're responsible. It's not your body. It's Allah Pak that loaned you this body. He's lent you this body. Understand that you are responsible for this. So eat. Nobody saying, don't eat. Kulu washrabu. But he also said, wala tusrifu. Don't go and waste. Don't go and destroy and disrupt things. Number one. Number two is, in marriage as well. Marriage also. Do what is right, number one. And what you can easily manage. Marriage, what you can easily manage. See where the problem comes, whether it's food or it's marriage. Either we get hyped or we hype ourselves. What happens? We get hyped or we hype ourselves. We're going past that Desai meets or Star meets. And we're going that Randari's Brai. Now we're hyping ourselves. Our body doesn't need it. We can't manage it. But we went past, now we got hyped. The bakery went, hey, what a croissant, man. See that pastry. And by, you already passed that age now. 55, 60 now. And you're dreaming about all these things here. Can you handle that thing? You can't handle it. Say, no, just like, give me my simple foods, what my body can manage. And what is right? What is right? What my body can manage, let me live with that. I look at all this thing, I get hyped. So I'm not eating, it's the hype that is eating. It is not the need, it's the greed. Marriage again, it's not the need, it's the greed. Are you going to such places, mixing around, interacting with women? So you're hyping yourself. Now you see the need for the second one and the third one. You look at all the type of pictures and photos and you see all the needs. Because you're now, the biryani that you got at home is not right. Now you need to get the bride from outside. But this is a hype. You're hyping yourself. It's not the need, it's the greed. So if you take care of yourself, you're not hyped. And when you're not hyped, that whatever person is with you, you're quite comfortable, she's quite comfortable, and you're relaxed or continuing. But now you have to go and hype yourself. See? Then you realize, oh, hey, I don't have the strength, man. So I need some supplements. So the way this thing comes up, you went and hyped yourself. You have to hype yourself, you brought this problem onto yourself. You don't have the energy, say, let me do what I can manage. So one is in eating, one is in marriage, right? The third is, right, is about, this topic is going to take long, but now I caused it, I brought it right to 25 past to bring the highlight of the talk, right? Is media manipulation, right? So the media must talk about corona. And the whole world gets excited, right? The whole world gets excited. Corona, corona, corona. Because the media spoke about it, right? So that's media, purely media manipulation. Now how do you come to that conclusion? I ask you, you see Bangladesh, Uganda, right? Congo. These three countries had a corona disease and 60,000 casualties all died, right? Will the media talk about it? They won't talk. Whereas the deaths are higher, maybe 3 or 4 times, 10 times higher, but nobody would talk about, well, Nigeria, this year, so what? Congo or Bangladesh? Well, it happened in America. It happened in Canada. So that is a real problem. So what is this? It's a media manipulation. Now the way they escalate the thing, that you can't even shake hands, must fist, what? Fist bump. Yes, some Gandhi baat, all stupid and mad things. I asked, alright, then how are you going to be with your wife then? And your children, what are you going to be? Elbow. What are you going to be doing? It all is madness. But you practice your purity, your deen. Don't substitute your deen. with his fist and all that, don't you substitute. You do the musafa as it is. That person doesn't want to give you his fist, he doesn't want to give you his hand, he wants to give you a fist, but you just refuse. But that's not the teaching of Nabi Sallam. Don't distort it, don't change it. Nabi Sallam has given us a teaching, you want to give your hand, very good. And you want to give the fist and all that, no. You keep it to yourself. Don't you force your values onto me. And I say you again, that this is pure media manipulation. See this 9/11 took place, right? So every article, every news bulletin following the event of 9/11, and then they'll give the news. And after that whole chakkar was over, now you see a Muslim, there's the terrorist, he's a terrorist. So that's the mindset that they wanted to create. So they brought this 9/11 around, and they manipulated the news, and they brought that type of mindset. Any explosion, oh, Muslim. Any problem, Muslim. Any terrorist is a Muslim. Right? Someone can go and bomb the synagogue, he's not a terrorist. Can go into a mall, Christian can shoot some people down, he's not a terrorist. But he's a Muslim, he must be linked up to Al-Qaeda, he must be a terrorist organization. But what is this? Now, we becoming the pawn in their work. You see, the victims in their work, they manipulating, and we are being their slaves, or their clientele, we are being used. But they want to do a thing, let them carry on. We got our own lives, we got our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to teach us. We don't need you to come and instruct us in our deeni matters. One youngster in Thana Bhavan, he was plagued, right? He's coming towards his end. And they can see he's coming to the end. So, our Islamic teaching is, you console the person, you comfort the person. So as it is our teaching to comfort, so one youngster went and comforted him. Don't worry, you'll come right, man. So he asked, what about that other friend that's also affected? So he's also right. So now this person that is on his way out, he says, no, it's a dirty lie. That person is dead, and I can see him in front of me. So he could distinguish the living from the dead. I can see him, he's in front of me. And don't give me the stories that I live now, because the malaika are saying that, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ لَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't fear, no ghabrat, no worry. We are here, we are friends. Here and beyond here, we are your friends. We are here. Shaykh already general. Say, I had enough of this dirt now. I want to go beyond. You show me a plastic, dirty little scooter, when I can see a jet before me, and I have been made the owner of that thing to fly it as clear I want. You show me this crowd in this thing here. Hey, what's wrong with you? You see, that Muslim is looking forward to that life. That is the reality. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. That is the reality. That is real life. رَضَى تَوْفِيقَ سِفَرِ